U.S. Attorney.
Please proceed, counsel.
Good morning. John Ellis, Federal Defenders, on behalf of the juvenile. I will be requesting 2 minutes of rebuttal. Reversal is warranted in this case for three reasons. The first is that the district court did not have jurisdiction because the juvenile certification incorrectly stated that the state of California lacked jurisdiction. Second, the Juvenile Delinquency Act violations committed by the agents were so egregious that the juvenile's due process rights were violated and require mandatory reversal. Third, even if there was not a violation of due process, there was prejudice because all of the incriminating information presented in the juvenile information was obtained from the juvenile after the government's complete failure to comply with the JDA.
Is that your only attack on the certification?
My only attack on the certification, Your Honor, is that it incorrectly states that the state of California lacked jurisdiction. There was two arguments.
You're not attacking the certification because there's no showing that a court of the state refused to assume jurisdiction?
Well, I guess, Your Honor, it's a two-part. The first one is there is no evidence in this case that the state of California refused to assert jurisdiction in this case. The government points to what they say there's a declination, that the state of California has declined to prosecute these types of cases. But there's no evidence in the record before this court or the district court that declination actually existed. And that's been challenged by the juvenile from the district court all the way up, that there's never been evidence of this declination presented.
Even if it existed, would that be sufficient?
I don't believe it would be sufficient in this case, Your Honor, because that's not the ground advanced in the certification itself. This court has made clear that the certification process is supposed to be difficult because we want to keep juveniles out of federal court as much as possible. And that's why we have to rely upon the jurisdictional statements within the certification itself. The government conceded in its reply brief that the state of California has jurisdiction. And I think at this point they really had no other choice but to concede that point.
Under 602 of the Welfare and Institutions Code.
Yes, Your Honor. A position they challenged below, but now they've conceded. And so the state of California did have jurisdiction. There's no evidence that the state of California declined to assert jurisdiction. And so the district court never had jurisdiction to proceed in this case. And on that ground alone, this case should be remanded.
If there were evidence in the record that there was a declination, and if that were the basis for the certification, would you concede that 602 had been complied with?
If there was evidence that the state of California, by the state of California, what we're talking about in this case would be the district attorney's office for the county of San Diego, said, we're not going to prosecute against this juvenile, and that was in certification, I believe that would be proper.
Why?
I don't think it's proper for them to say we have a blanket policy against prosecuting juveniles simply because the JDA requires an investigation, and I think it takes more than just the state of California.
You're conceding it would be enough for the district attorney in a particular case to say we refuse to prosecute this case. Over and out. Certification's okay?
If the certification properly says, in this case, the state of California has refused to assert jurisdiction of this juvenile, and that's what the certification says, that would be proper.
Do you equate the district attorney's office with the state of California? What does the language of the statute say?
Of 602 or 5032? It says the state, but the state of California is represented by the attorney.
I thought it said the court.
That the juvenile court or other appropriate court of a state does not have jurisdiction or refuses to assume jurisdiction over said juvenile. So it would have to be by the district attorney's office, I mean the district attorney for the county of San Diego has the determination of whether or not a juvenile is going to be charged with an act of delinquency.
So you're conceding it doesn't have to come from a court, it's enough to come from the district attorney?
Well, they're the ones that make the charging decision, so in that sense I would say yes.
But it never gets to the court then. The court never has an opportunity to decide if the DA doesn't prosecute.
Yes, I mean, just like any other case, if the government doesn't bring the action, then the court, it's not before the court. And, I mean, I think consistently this court has, in the certification context, put it in those terms.
What case says that if the district attorney declines to prosecute, that that's a showing that the court will not assume jurisdiction?
In fact, I guess there's not a court right on point that would say that. I think it can be inferred from Doe 4 and from Kenneth C.
Why would you concede that point?
I guess The point is this, is that I'm not willing, even if we, that doesn't matter in this case, I should rephrase. In this case, it doesn't matter because that's not what happened. Any way you construe the certification in this case, it wasn't proper. If the court wanted to go further and find that the state, that the jurisdiction didn't apply because the state of California, the juvenile court, didn't have the opportunity.
If you want to concede the issue, we're happy to let you do
it. I won't concede it. I'll go back. But in this case, the court doesn't have to go that far to find
okay,
that.
Okay, we won't. We won't.
That the certification was improper.
I mean, you've got a killer issue, but if you don't want us to pursue it,
well, let's go back
about
to that, Your Honor.
What about the doctrine that says, well, they could have corrected it, so it's no big deal? I mean, to put it in street language.
Well, there's no evidence in this case, Your Honor, that they could have corrected it. And the government's relying on the case called Gonzalez-Cervantes.
Right.
Gonzalez-Cervantes doesn't actually say that. Gonzalez-Cervantes is a plain error case where the government said that the state court of Imperial County had refused jurisdiction. It should have been San Diego County. But not only did the defense attorney not object at trial, the defense attorney, in fact, said, we agree that this statement is correct. And so the court said the district court doesn't have to sua sponte basis to investigate when a certification that's proper or valid on its face isn't challenged. In this case, the certification isn't proper on its face, obviously, because it's clear the state of California does have jurisdiction. And second of all, that was objected to continually throughout the proceedings before the district court. Turning briefly to the other violations of the JDA for Section 5033, the government doesn't dispute that if the juvenile was in custody at 3:30 p.m. on May 18th, then there were violations of the Juvenile Delinquency Act. And in this case, the juvenile was in custody because at that time, he wasn't free to leave. The agents knew he was a juvenile, and they had probable cause to believe that he had violated United States law.
Well, but he wasn't in custody for any crime at that point, though, was he?
Your Honor, as pointed out in the briefs, we believe that at least the court, that the agents had probable cause to believe that he had violated United States law.
But that's not what was going on. They were holding him as a material witness.
Your Honor, there is no real evidence that he was simply being held as material witness to
the
shooting.
What do you mean, real evidence?
Well, they stated that, well, we were holding him as a material witness, but
that's what always happens in these cases. I mean, that's standard stuff. You know that.
Well, I understand.
They hold some of the people to be material witnesses. That always happens.
Your Honor, they held him for almost 12 hours before making a determination if he was someone who was a smugglee or a smuggler, and that's insufficient. But even if the court finds that he wasn't in custody at that point, everyone agrees that he was in custody by 3 o'clock in the morning when the agents told him he was in custody. And even if that's the point we rely upon, there are still violations of the JDA because the U.S. Attorney's Office wasn't contacted for approximately 10 hours, and he wasn't brought before a magistrate for 15 hours from that point. And 10 hours and 15 hours are not immediate under the JDA. If I could reserve the rest of my time.
All right, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Lauren Barefoot on behalf of the United States from the Southern District of California. This case involves agents who went above and beyond what was required by the JDA to ensure that the appellant had adequate counsel with his mother, the Mexican consulate, and his adult brother.
What about the certification?
The certification was proper. The state court had no jurisdiction over this juvenile because the district attorney's office had a blanket declination policy.
Well, problem number one, everybody is saying that. Is this blanket declination somehow adequately represented in this record?
Well,
where is
it? We have the representation of Assistant United States Attorney Rebecca Young in the record.
What does she know? Based on what? Somebody told her? Is this hearsay?
Well, we have the policy itself wasn't challenged below. There was no...
wasn't there a request made for a copy of the declination?
I believe there was a request for the copy, but there's no evidence in the record that there is a written declination policy.
You know, this is... excuse me, this is sloppy beyond belief.
Well,
you're telling us there's some policy. I mean, this is just nothing but more than a bunch of hearsay.
Well, it is.
You read the law. The law says it's pretty clear. Congress has made it very clear. Don't bring these cases into federal court unless you have certain circumstances that attach, including, among other things, the juvenile court or other appropriate court of a state refuses to assume jurisdiction.
Well, it is important in this case that the district attorney's office has informed the United States Attorney's Office that they will not be filing petitions against juveniles under 1324.
And so you can just wander into court and say that?
Well, there was no evidence to the contrary, and it wasn't challenged that the
burden's on the federal government to cross the T's and dot the I's. And the statute says the juvenile court or other appropriate court of the state refuses to assume. How do you get around that? Where did a court refuse to assume?
Well, the court never had an opportunity to reach this juvenile because the DA's office would not file against.
How does that comply with the statute? Congress said a juvenile shall not be proceeded against in any court of the United States unless the juvenile court or other appropriate court of the state refuses to assume jurisdiction. Is that what we're stuck with? Is that the language?
Well, I think it is kind of awkwardly worded and confusing.
Is that the language?
That is correct.
So are we supposed to apply the language?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how does that work in this case? Where do you have any indication at all that the court or other appropriate court of the state refused to assume jurisdiction?
Well, Your Honor, I think it could have worked either way about whether the court did not have jurisdiction against this juvenile or whether they refused to.
But you conceded the court did under 602 of the WNI. I used to work those cases. Of course it has jurisdiction. It may not have been exercised, but it has jurisdiction should it choose to assume it. And Congress tells us don't bring these cases into federal court unless a court of the state refuses to assume jurisdiction. I agree it's awkward because that's not the way the system works. The way the system works is as you describe it. DA says we're not going to prosecute. Over it comes. Never goes to a court. But we're stuck with this language.
Correct, Your Honor. However, even if this was an incorrect certification, the appellant did not challenge this blanket declination policy earlier. He never said that the DA's office would not file against him, or would have filed against him, excuse me. So the error would be absolutely harmless because there's no dispute as to whether or not the DA's office would have filed against him. We agree that they would
not. But if it's jurisdictional, isn't it always open to be brought up?
Well, this is not a jurisdictional issue because it's not. We have a harmless error standard, and it would be absolutely harmless because the appellant is not contesting that.
Not contesting what?
The fact that the DA's office
If this isn't jurisdictional, what is it?
Well, it was
the courts of the United States shall not be used in these cases unless and until. If it's not jurisdictional, what is it?
Well, it was just a substantive. It could have been a substantive error.
The statute. What is the statute if it's not jurisdictional? It's not a loaded question. I mean, you tell us it's not jurisdictional. Well, then what is it?
Well, it's just not finding the words, Your Honor. Sorry.
Your argument is based on your interpretation that it is not jurisdictional.
That's
if it were jurisdictional, you would concede that they have a good appeal.
Well, if it was a jurisdictional, yes, Your Honor.
Do you have any cases that suggest that this isn't a jurisdictional requirement?
Gonzalez-Cervantes, Your Honor.
And what's the language in Gonzalez-Cervantes that suggests it's not jurisdictional? Alarcon, 3. Whether an error in the certification which permits a federal court to proceed against a juvenile divests the federal district court of jurisdiction. So it must in here say no, right? What language would you like us to read?
Well, A substantive inaccuracy does not require reversal of this conviction.
If the existence of an accurate certification is jurisdictional, the conviction must be reversed. It is our view that the filing of an accurate certification is not jurisdictional. So that's the language, right?
Right.
Okay.
What was the inaccuracy?
In this case?
In Gonzalez-Cervantes.
This was the San Diego County refused to assume jurisdiction over Doe versus Imperial County, where the
events
took place.
It was a mistake in the entity that was responsible. So in Gonzalez, it was kind of a technical error as opposed to failure to meet the requirement of the statute.
Well, in this case, if the court finds that this was an improper certification, it would also be just a substantive error because...
No, the word was technical error, not substantive. That's the difference. It was a technical error.
Well, and also in this case, does not have jurisdiction versus refuses to assume jurisdiction, that the certification would have been correct if it had just said does not have or refuses to assume jurisdiction.
How would that be correct if the court never refused to assume jurisdiction? How would that be correct, substantively?
Well, I think that the language is awkward, and so it's hard to... It does say it's the court that refuses to assume jurisdiction, and that's why our position is that they did not have jurisdiction.
That can't be right, because they do have jurisdiction.
But not until the district attorney's office will file a petition against the juvenile. And so that's... I agree that it is awkward language to reconcile.
It can't be right that a court only has jurisdiction if charges are brought. A court either has jurisdiction or it doesn't have jurisdiction. It can't be premised on whether or not charges are brought. You don't have jurisdiction unless charges are brought. That can't be right.
Well, personal jurisdiction against that juvenile.
We're not talking about personal. We're talking about subject matter jurisdiction.
Well, then the court would have subject matter jurisdiction over this juvenile.
Right, under the state law. It has jurisdiction over these types of cases. Right?
But then the court didn't get the opportunity to refuse jurisdiction.
Right. So it didn't refuse because it never had the opportunity to refuse.
Well, then there would be no opportunity to bring these cases in federal court ever in California based on the awkwardness of that, which can't be right.
Congress better change it if it doesn't work. If they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, they better change the size of the peg.
Well, just briefly with regard to the officer's conduct in this case, the agents, as soon as this juvenile was implicated in the alien smuggling, was around 2:45 to 3 o'clock in the morning. The agents immediately went to the appellant and advised him of his Miranda rights in Spanish at 3:02 in the morning, which is very immediate. The appellant provided his adult brother's telephone number and said that his brother was a part-time guardian. The agents contacted and reached appellant's brother at 3:06 in the morning and obtained a phone number for appellant's mother, which they proceeded to immediately make several calls to appellant's mother. There was no answer at her phone. Appellant's mother was in Mexico.
What about immediate notification to the Attorney General?
Well, the record shows that by 1 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon, the U.S. Attorney's Office was notified.
How long a delay was that?
That is approximately 7 hours, is that right?
10 hours.
10 hours.
And that immediate?
Well, I think that it needs to have a common sense construction as far as the normal. The court found that normal business hours would suffice in this case. There's no need to call and wake up the Attorney General or his representative to notify him that a juvenile had been.
Isn't that done for other things, search warrants or? I mean, the Attorney General is notified about a lot of things at a lot of different hours of the day and night. So why is this any different?
Well, the purpose in this case would be to inform the U.S. Attorney's Office that they had someone in custody to make a determination, early determination, as to whether or not he should be released, but whether or not an information would be filed. And in this case, the juvenile was being held as a witness to the homicide investigation and then to...
But was it immediate, though? Was it immediate? Was that an immediate notification, in your view?
Not under a literal interpretation of the word immediate, but even if it wasn't immediate, it was harmless error because the... the juvenile was able to talk with his mother, the Mexican consulate, and his adult brother, was advised of his Miranda rights repeatedly, and was able to waive his rights and provide a videotape statement at the station. I see my time is run.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal.
Judge Trott, I want to briefly go back to some of your earlier questioning and just make it clear. I agree with the idea that the refuses to assert jurisdiction would have to be by the court itself and not the district attorney's office. I don't think it had to go that far in this case, but under a reading of the statute, I would agree that the state court would have to refuse jurisdiction. But in this case, one way or the other, the certification was improper. I do want to respond to...
Let me ask you this. Opposing counsel pointed out that there was no objection made to the blanket declination argument below.
Your Honor, I would like to point the court to the supplemental excerpt of record, page 3, where before the district court in one of the motions, it was the government has failed to provide any evidence substantiating California's alleged declination.
Exactly. You're asking for the evidence, but not saying that that fails to meet the requirements of the statute.
I believe that argument was made as well, Your Honor. I'll look at the record if I can or 28J it afterwards, but this was advanced below. There was argument throughout the transcript that the state of California does charge these types of offenses. In fact, the perspective I gave the court was that my fiancé is a juvenile public defender, and I'm aware that these types of cases are brought and have been brought in the past. And so that argument was made on the record before the district court. It's been advanced in the pleadings before the district court, and it was advanced before this court. The government has had a number of opportunities, including in their response brief, to say, look, here's evidence of the declination. It's not uncommon for the government to attempt to do these types of things. They didn't do it.
But there's a difference between saying there is no evidence of the declination and saying that the declination itself is inadequate to meet the certification requirements. Which argument was made?
Your Honor, at a minimum, it was that the declination doesn't exist and there was no proof that it existed. Just briefly, even if there was a declination in this court, that still doesn't substantiate that the state of California refused to assert jurisdiction. And so in that instance, the certification would still be improper, and that means the district court did not have jurisdiction, and therefore this case should be remanded.
All right, thank you.
Actually, it was an error. The California would charge this to the juvenile in this case.
If there was an error?
If they wanted to.
If they wanted to, yes.
They had jurisdiction.
They have, under California Welfare and Institution Code, Section 602, the state of California can bring an active delinquency based on a violation of federal law.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you to both counsel. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court.